Good morning. Well, here we are. We've reached the halfway point of Advent, and this particular Sunday called Gaudete Sunday, coming from the entrance antiphon in Latin, meaning rejoice. And we're supposed to have that penance, that tone of penitence that we've taken on in Advent is supposed to be lifted a little bit today, and we have the rose-colored candle lit, and we have the rose vestments only two times in the entire liturgical year that we wear them, and yet without fail, every single time I put them on twice a year, our sacristan Bob Roop always asks me, so are we going to sing Pretty in Pink as our opening hymn? Without fail, twice a year, every year. And we see this in the readings, right? The first reading from the prophet Zephaniah, one of my favorite prophets. And what is he saying here? He's saying, shout for joy, sing joyfully, be glad and exalt. He's telling us to rejoice. He's telling us to do exactly what the church is telling us to do, why these readings are assigned for today. And we see that in the psalm as well. Cry out with joy and gladness. We see this in the second reading as well from St. Paul's letter to the Philippians. Brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Your kindness should be known to all. The Lord is near. So the church is obviously, at least in that first reading and the psalm and the second reading, obviously telling us to rejoice. And why? Because the Lord is near. Because we're at that halfway point of Advent. We're beginning to switch focus, not so much on the second coming of Christ as we were in the first part of Advent, but now beginning to switch focus on remembering his first coming, when all of the prophecies were foretold and the Messiah would come. But I don't know about you, but with the events on Friday, it's very difficult to rejoice too much, because that's kind of hanging over us. Hanging over our nation, this mourning that we're all in when we see these horrors over and over again, and yet the church is telling us to rejoice. And I want to just say something. I want to say something about that in a minute. But let's go to the gospel, because in the gospel the crowds are coming to John the Baptist, the forerunner of our Lord, the great saint of Advent, whose job was to go before the Lord. Cousin of our Lord, to go before him and to prepare the way. And we kind of get this sense of expectation. They're all coming to him and they're saying, well, what should we do? What should we do to get ready? And he gives them advice. Those of you who have two cloaks should share. Whoever has food should share. Tax collectors, they say, well, what should we do? Stop collecting more than what's prescribed. Because that was, of course, common among tax collectors then and now. He says to the soldiers, they say to him, well, what should we do? Do not practice extortion. Do not falsely accuse anyone. Be satisfied with your wages. Everyone is coming to him, and it even says right in the middle of the gospel, now the people were filled with expectation. They were all ready. They knew the Lord was in their midst. And some of them even thought it was John the Baptist. And John the Baptist even speaks up and says, look, I'm not him. I'm just preparing the way for him. He says, I'm not even worthy to loosen his sandals. He said, I'm baptizing with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So John the Baptist is telling them, do what you can do. And so in these readings, we kind of have two different things going on, because on the one hand, John the Baptist is telling them and telling us, do whatever it is you can do. Do what you can do to prepare the way. And he gives some very practical examples to these people who have come forward and asked him, what can we do? But then we go back to the first reading, we go back to the second reading, and the sense we get there is that God is going to be the one who cleans all this up. God is the one. What did Zephaniah say after telling everyone to rejoice? Why? He says, the Lord has removed the judgment against you. The Lord, your God, is in your midst, a mighty Savior. And the same thing St. Paul is saying, the Lord is near, have no anxiety. He's telling them God is coming. God is the one who is going to come. And so we could kind of ask ourselves, well, what's going on? Is God just going to come and clean everything up, or am I supposed to? And in a typical Catholic fashion, the answer is both and. We are called to do everything we can do within our power to prepare the way for the Lord, to be like John the Baptist in our society, to call people to repentance, to be willing to be called to repentance ourselves. So we're called to do everything we can do in our own power, but at the end of the day, we also have to recognize that it's God who's coming to really clean things up. If we could do it all on our own, God wouldn't have needed to have become a human being and come and suffer and die for our sins. But we can't do it all on our own, and that's why God is the one who came and who comes continuously in the sacraments to us to clean everything up. And I said I was going to come back to this tragedy that we're facing as a nation. You know, I put out a message on Facebook Friday afternoon, just said, you know, I'm going to have Mass here at 5 for anyone who wants to come. And I tell you what, with 2 or 3 hours notice, we had about 20 people show up. And it was nice just to offer the highest prayer the Church has to offer for the repose of the souls of all those victims. And one of the things that I said, and my thoughts at the time were, and they still kind of are, very raw. And I was just kind of thinking out loud. But one of the things I said to them that I would repeat to you along this theme is that there is only so much we can do. You know, Facebook and social media and the newspapers are all abuzz with gun control, right? And I think President Obama was dead on when he said, you know, I believe that the Constitution absolutely protects individual citizens from having arms. But does that mean that we need military-grade weapons or even semi-automatic weapons in the hands of civilians? And you know, there is going to be an even longer discussion, of course, on the whole issue of gun control. But I think there's something to remember. And I made this parallel on Friday. You know, whenever I preach on abortion, some of my same friends who are calling for gun control, whenever I preach on abortion, say, well, why are you going to make it legal? People are still going to go and get an abortion anyways if they want. And that's true. And I think the same thing is true with gun control. Yeah, we should do what we can do. We should do what we can do as a society to fix the problem. But at the end of the day, evil is still out there, and evil will find a way. And if someone wants to get military-grade weapons, even if it's illegal, they're going to. If someone wants an abortion, even if it's illegal, they're going to. Evil will always find a way. So does that mean we shouldn't do anything? No, we should do what we can do. But we should also recognize that at the end of the day, it's God who has to convert hearts. We can prepare the way for him to convert hearts. We can help soften hearts. We can be like John the Baptist in our society and prepare the way. But at the end of the day, it's God who has to do the conversion. It's God who has to convert hearts and convert societies. You know, we've become so numb to the fact that over 3,000 innocent American children are killed every single day through abortion. We've become so numb to that fact. And yet, when this kind of tragedy happens, the whole nation stops and mourns, as we should. Don't get me wrong, but why aren't we mourning every day? Why aren't we in uproar every single day because of this? And again, I think it's just because we've kind of grown numb. I think we've grown numb to the evil around us as a society, and even as a church, to a degree. So, brothers and sisters, we are called today to rejoice that God has come, that he's coming again, that he comes to us every single day in the sacraments. We're called to rejoice in that. But we're also called to do what we can do. That's what the gospel's telling us. Everyone's coming to John the Baptist. What should we do? We're called to do whatever it is that we can do as individuals, as a society. Do what we can do to help prepare the way, to help be like John the Baptist in our society, to help prepare the way, to help soften hearts. But at the end of the day, to recognize that it's God who has to really convert the hearts.